Frickin' David.
Welcome to Comics.
Episode
279.
This week, we talk about
Jughead, Volume 1.
Visit us at welcometocomics.com. Listen to past episodes. See what we're reading next. Send us a message. Or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. This episode is supported by listeners like you. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics.
And now, the cast begins.
Talk about Rogue One. I don't know. Should we talk about it?
No, because I haven't seen it I live in a foreign country.
Let's not talk about that.
Okay. No spoilers, but the droid is the best thing ever. It's the droid is my favorite addition to the Star Wars universe. K2SO is phenomenal.
Yeah, this is true.
He's great. Sassy pants. Yeah. David, now you can have a
question. I imagine that he's saying the kind of things that R2 would say if he wasn't
if
just
had
making
a mouth.
Beeps.
Yes.
That sounds delightful.
No, because R2 is a little bit more of an asshole.
Yeah, but that's
It would be similar.
Yeah.
R2, K2 is very sassy.
R2's a dick, and yeah, K2 is just sassy. Okay. There, we had a witty banter. do you guys want to talk about this week's comic?
Yes.
This week's comic.
All right. This week we read Jughead Volume 1. We had talked about doing Betty and Veronica by Adam Hughes, but it is January 5th when we're recording this, and the third issue and final issue of that run didn't come out for another 2 weeks on January 18th. So maybe we'll come back and do Betty and Veronica later, but we decided not to wait it out. Just go ahead and put this out for you guys. So we're doing we read Jughead Volume 1 by Chip Zdarsky and some other people. I don't have it in front of me, so I don't remember.
I'm sorry, and then in the notes, I didn't finish writing it.
The art is by Erica Henderson.
Yes, good art.
We have coloring by a man whose name I'm so sorry I'm about to butcher. Andre Szymanowicz?
Oh, it had right here. Oh, no, I don't.
Yeah, it's Szymanowicz.
Manowich. Okay. I am very sorry for that.
Well, my wife's last name ends with...
Bitch.
With W-I-C-Z, and it's like... Vitch. Yeah, it's like a Vitch.
Yeah.
Vitch. Szymanowicz.
Yeah. The Vitch is a bitch to pronounce.
This is riveting. Riveting radio.
And lettering by Jack Morelli. So our team.
All right.
At least for... No, I think that's for the whole issue, or whole trade.
So I was kind of disappointed initially because I was really excited to read Betty and Veronica and talk about the Adam Hughes sweater meat, which I heard the phrase sweater meat for the first time like a week or two ago, and it's my favorite thing ever now.
Wait, isn't it supposed to be sweater puppies?
That works too, but I've heard...
When did it get downgraded to meat?
I read sweater meat, and I think it is like... The most disgustingly objectifying and hilarious thing. So it's my favorite slang now.
I would never refer to it as that, but I love that. It's horrible.
Yeah, it's the worst, but I love it. So it's on the one hand, I'm disappointed we don't get to talk about that, but on the other hand, I'm excited because the surprise favorite of mine from last week was Jughead. He was a real standout character last week, and I was happy to revisit him again in a different context. And he's a little bit different here, but I still really, really like him.
Yeah, he's my favorite character from the Archie comics thus far. And I went ahead and read Volume 2 as well, because I liked last week so much. And I think this isn't quite as strong as the Archie comics, but this is still really good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I liked about this... You know, I also liked Jughead a lot in the last thing we read, but I think the difference we get a lot more. See, I think Jughead in Archie was he was kind of like the voice of reason again, you know, against, or at Archie's side. But in this one, Jughead just went off the rails.
Mm-hmm. Well, but the thing is, he still is the voice of reason, because he was right, and he saved the day.
Well, that's true, but he was like a crazy person who,
yeah.
Who was, you know, his, what, I can't think right now. What is the word I'm looking for? I'm sorry.
It's like, I think like, he can still be the voice of reason, and last week's Mark Waid Archie versus this Archie and this Jughead, what you really get is the importance of, like, perspective and point of view. And from Archie's point of view, this Jughead might be the same. You know, if we were not inside his head to see how fucking crazy he is, he might still seem normal and sane. But we get to see, like, his daydreams. We get to see, him, like, what his day-to-day is. And we can know that he is not bumbling, but not... He's not as much the togetherness voice of reason. Whereas in Archie, Archie is the bumbling protagonist, and that makes Jughead able to, by contrast, be the person of reason. But in here, I mean, Archie's still a bumbling idiot, but Jughead is you see what Jughead's going on in Jughead's head, and it's not as together as you thought it was.
Well, I think the difference here too is in Archie's comic, he was you know, he was driven to craziness because of this, you know, first the lipstick incident and then his attraction to Veronica.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was put under tremendous stress. And then in this one, well, tremendous stress for Archie. And then in the Jughead comic, he is messed up because, you know, first they're not serving lasagna in the cafeteria, and they're just doing the gruel. And then after that, like, all these things that kind of defined Jughead were becoming things that he could no longer do, like bend the rules and, you know, opt out of doing everything. And his world was falling apart. So I think that's why he kind of went cuckoo. And his friends saw those kinds of things happening to him, and that's probably why they attributed his, you know, thinking that it was some kind of spy training camp to him just being a crazy person because of what was happening to him.
Yeah, and so, I mean, yeah. and externally in terms of consequence, like, he's a little shit, but he's not the person who would otherwise get suspended or expelled. That's not going to be Jughead who gets that. Because he tells us over and over that he loves rules, and he shows us too. I like that. Like, my favorite was the dog when the dog shits on the lawn. He's like, "Well,
yeah.
I can't go pick it up because I can't step foot on school grounds. I'm so sorry, bro." I'm like, "Oh, you're such a troll, and it's fantastic."
Yeah, and you call him a little shit, which I think is. I assume you're just kind of using that in passing, but the thing is, like, he's not, right? Because he's actually likable when he bends the rules, because you think, like, oh, he's funny or clever or sarcastic, right? But he never comes off as obnoxious, and I think that's actually what makes this work. Because if he was just, like, a teen rebel rebelling against the principal and then it worked out in the end, it'd be kind of like, I think that we wouldn't be able to stand him, but in reality, he's just like, he's the everyman, right? Kind of like Archie, but in a different way, where he just wants to be lazy. He wants to eat food and play video games and hang out and not have to, like, I mean, he's constantly complaining about school, right? Like, that it's useless. He's just like the other kind of archetypal teenager. Not a bad guy, but kind of lazy.
Well, I don't know that it's laziness. I think one of the things that carried over in his character that is really, really well done in here is the backstory I didn't know he had about how his family was rich and now is poor. And I think that's handled here. I don't think it's that he's lazy, and I don't think it's that I think he shits on school because he realizes you can learn everything and work hard, and at the end of the day, you get a good job which gets you money, and that's not important. Like, the things that he finds important are the things that are his friends and being with them and supporting them and doing right by the people around him. And so in that perspective, like, sure, be lazy. Like, school doesn't matter. Like, from his extreme perspective as from that point of view, like, of course, you don't worry about school. You worry about your friends and you worry about being with them and making sure that they are safe. Like, he's not worried about whether or not he can go, like, when he gets expelled, he's not worried about whether or not he gets to go back to school. He's not worried about any of those things. He's worried about his friends getting brainwashed. That's his main concern. And I mean, aside from that, it shows more, the other way I like the way that it was brought over here is that he's always at Pop's and he's always begging for somebody to pay for his milkshakes. And it's done in a way that's comedic and not, it's not sad at all. You know, it's not a pity party. It is a sad thing because you know why he needs somebody to pay for his milkshake, but it's never something that brings him down or brings you down as a reader. I don't know. I really like the way it was handled here, because that was a fundamental part of his character in the Mark Waid run, and I like the way it's handled here too, because from his perspective, it could really be like a melodramatic sad thing, but it's not. It's just a character-defining thing that happened to him.
The thing with the milkshakes is actually like a really good point, because you do get the sense that if he wanted to find money to pay for them, he could. He just doesn't.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and I think that's part of what makes this version of Jughead more charming too. It's like, he has reasons for being the way he is.
Mm-hmm.
So, one thing I kind of wanted to talk about in this was Archie's role. Because in the Archie comic, I feel like Jughead is obviously his best friend and really prominent. But I feel like in this, it's more like, so as Jughead is to Archie, Kevin Keller and Betty are to Jughead. Like, I think that they were more like in the best friend role and they were the voice of reason. They're always like, dude, you're crazy. It's not a CIA training camp. Or, you know, just like supporting him in his plans, hanging out with him. And I thought that was really interesting because in Archie comics, we obviously see him like always hanging out with Archie.
Mm-hmm.
But here, it almost seems like Archie isn't the focus of like his friends group. And I kind of wonder, maybe they did that to make it not another Archie comic. But it's kind of nice, right?
Yeah, I agree, and I think you might be right. And I think it kind of makes sense if you think about this comic in context of the Archie comic, where we see Archie kind of drifting away from Betty and Jughead because of Veronica. And then a lot of the times where we see Archie in this comic, he is very quickly distracted when somebody brings up Veronica.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's true.
He's almost comic relief in his, like, just puppy dog eyes all the time.
Yeah, so I think it makes sense that because of Archie's infatuation, Jughead has to rely or chooses to rely more on his, more on other people in his circle of friends. And I think we kind of see this as the trade goes along, because we do see Archie interacting with Jughead a lot towards the beginning, but as we go along, it you know, we see him spending a lot of time with Dilton and Kevin and Betty, you know, and so I think it makes for a more well-rounded comic book universe, right? I mean, mm-hmm. We see, if you look back at the traditional Archie comics, it really is about Archie, and there's nothing wrong with that. Jughead is a supporting, he's a supporting character for Archie, but in the Jughead comic, that doesn't mean Archie needs to be, you know, the main supporting character for Archie. I mean, it's like after Dick Grayson became Nightwing, if Batman was like constantly showing up, you know, yeah, that would take away from Nightwing. Mm-hmm. And so basically what I'm saying is Jughead is Nightwing and Archie is Batman.
No, and it works in terms of, like, perspective again, too. Like, thinking about the Mark Waid Volume 1, this is what I think Jughead would see, right? Jughead and Archie and Betty were the BFF trio, and then Betty and Archie broke up, and Archie got all love eyes for Veronica. And so we got to see that more from Archie's perspective in the Mark Waid run, but here we get to see, like, it's still Betty and Jughead hanging out a lot, except whenever Archie comes up, it's just, it's annoying, like, not that he is annoying, but whenever Veronica's mentioned, like, Archie just flies out the window and just gets the puppy dog eyes and just talks about Veronica and how she's beautiful and awesome and everything. And so that, that's what Jughead was seeing last week when we were reading, like, that's why he is so fucking annoyed by it. Like, my friend used to be this normal person, and now whenever we mention fucking Veronica, like, he just, like, goes off and whatever, you know? And if this is Jughead's perspective, I could understand him not wanting to be around Archie that much right now. I'm like, chill the fuck out, bro.
Yeah, and, I mean, I think it also just kind of highlights that that's how high school life works, right? Like, you have your set of really close friends, but then each of those friends has their set of really close friends, and it's not always, like, you know, the same level of tie. It's just, it's very typical. I mean, I guess everyone's friendships are like that, so true to life.
No, I mean, especially with Kevin, right? Like, Kevin was hardly in the Mark Waid run, but he's a prominent character here.
Mm-hmm.
And I also like the idea of Jughead being Archie's best friend, but Archie not necessarily being Jughead's best friend, because that, you're right, that happens a lot. And, like, you know, you, most people have friends that you are their best friend, but they might not be yours.
Yeah, and you kind of get a sense that Jughead doesn't have a best friend necessarily. I mean, he calls Archie his best friend, and I think he's, like, super loyal to Archie, but he's just, like, friendly with everybody. He's one of those generally well-liked people.
Yeah.
I really liked getting to see more of the supporting cast in this. Kevin Keller is becoming a favorite of mine, as is Dilton. And I appreciate that, because we never got much of a chance to see them in the other comics we read.
You didn't get good character development in Archie vs. Predator?
I did not get good character development in Archie vs. Predator.
Yeah, and I really like the line that Kevin has when one of the other characters, one of the other off-screen characters got suspended for a week. And he was like, no, there's only 5 gay guys in this entire fucking high school. And when one of them gets suspended, it severely limits, well, not suspended, I got transferred or something. Like, it severely limits my available pool of hookups.
I love that. And I also thought it was interesting that they, like, flat out openly said Jughead is asexual.
Yeah, that's what I was...
Yeah,
I mean, it makes sense. We never see him pursuing any of the ladies that anyone else is so interested in. And it's, I don't know, it's nice to have diversity in that regard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's a relatively newly recognized category of sexuality, and it's nice to see it represented in a normal person. This is a little bit of a tangent. I was in a Facebook discussion the other day. It was a discussion about Tracer and Emily. Tracer from Overwatch, in the Overwatch comic, was shown as being Tracer was shown kissing a female character named Emily, and that their lesbian relationship, and isn't that wonderful? And my comment was like, okay, that's great, but the original ship of Tracer hooking up with Winston, who is the gorilla, like, to me, that's much more interesting, because those kinds of characters are almost never shown to be, have any kind of sexuality, because it either becomes a joke or becomes grotesque. Right, like, we can have a character like Winston, we can make him super intelligent, we can humanize him, but God forbid he have sex with a human being, because then it's either grotesque or a joke. So those characters I'm much more interested to see what they do with Winston from a science fiction perspective and a narrative, like, storytelling perspective than Tracer, personally. And somebody commented, like, oh, you know, well, asexuals exist. And it's like, yes, of course. But then you have to assume that all of these, like, intelligent monkeys are asexual, which does not compute either.
And
on the flip side, that sucks for asexuals, that your only representation is intelligent monkeys. So it's really great to see a prominent, well-written character who's asexual and a human fucking being. Like, that's what I really appreciate about this, too. Because if that's the way you interpret those, like, intelligent robots, intelligent monkeys, all these other alternate forms of sentience, if you interpret them as being asexual, then it really makes the pool of representation for asexuals really shitty. So Jughead, if Jughead coming out saying it is it's good.
I mean, it's... I think it's just more like... You're right. Like, you can't have all the ascended animals be asexual, but there also is, like, that squidginess, right? Like, you don't want to see the relationship between, like, the girl and the octopus. That's that's not for consumption.
But that's what I'm saying. If you're going to make a super intelligent octopus and give it human anthropomorphized traits, like... At that point, that super intelligent octopus is not, on the flip side, like, on the other side of it, that super intelligent octopus is not gonna get sexual and romantic satisfaction from a non-intelligent octopus, right? Like, that octopus then is in a shit position.
We are going into such a weird moral area. Because I feel like if you take it to its fullest extent and you're like, well, a human could be with an AI, and then you take it to ascended animals. But anyway.
That's the realm of conversation that asexuals are normally herded into. It's good that it's in a normalized place here.
It's an issue of, like, lack of visibility. I think the same way that you see, like, genderqueer or bisexual people not discussed. And I think in some ways, if you're just talking about, you know, how often you see people, for instance, you can have a comic and have people exist in a small town, but if everyone, like, we have Kevin Keller, right? And he's gay. And he's, like, he's good representation, I think. Yeah. Like, he's just a normal dude. Very cool. But suddenly, if, like, half the school population is gay, it doesn't make sense, right?
Yeah.
So, and then... I mean, part of the lack of representation, I think, is just because people aren't aware. But the other part of it is that it's such a statistical, like, small portion of the population. And it works here because they actually do have a character who doesn't have a, like, big history of romance, right? We never see him, you know, trying to date the ladies or the dudes or anyone. And I think this is the way to do it well, basically. You take a character in which the trait actually really fits and then say, oh, by the way, here's this, and then just leave it at that, right? They don't make a huge deal of it. And it's not like they're like, oh, did you know Archie is asexual? Obviously he's not, right? You can't just, like, slap a label on someone for equality and call it a day. So I think it was really good to pick Jughead because it makes sense with his character.
Yeah, and it's good. It's true to life too, because it's in the way that he always has been. And when you've read these comics, he's always been asexual, but there was just never a term for it before. And now we have a term for it, so now we can say Jughead is asexual, and it fits perfectly. Like, as a retcon, it makes perfect sense because he always has been.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go Jughead. Do we want to talk about his daydreams?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I just want to talk about the first one, okay? This really isn't about the first one, so... I mean, it is, but it isn't. So, it's called Game of Jones.
Sorry, right? I like that you are concerned about going off on a tangent when we just had, like, a 5-minute tirade about asexual monkeys.
Well, okay, so anyways, you know, it's Game of Thrones spoof, and they called it Game of Jones. And afterwards, I was thinking about it,
I don't know if I'd finished the story if I was like halfway through,
mm-hmm.
but I kept referring to it in my head as Game of Jugs.
No, that's the Betty and Veronica comic that we didn't read.
Well, then I thought, yeah, then I always realized that could be the name of like Game of Thrones parody, Game of Jugs, or it could just be an alternate name for the show because there's a lot of that in there.
You mean Game of Jugs, a XXX parody?
Well, yeah, but is that a thing?
I mean, it should be.
If it is, I'm not surprised.
Okay, let's say, considering that Star Trek: The Next Penetration is a thing. If it isn't a thing yet, it's gonna be.
It really should be. Go trademark it. Get rich.
I'll leave that to you.
I'll buy gameofjugs.xxx as a domain. No, actually, the .xxx domains are fucking expensive. They're like $30, which is ridiculous. And .com is like $10.
I mean, they're probably really profitable if you do it right.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. Okay, so there's the Game of Thrones one. Sorry, the Game of Jones. There's the time travel where he beats future Reggie.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Man from U.N.C.L.E., which is the man from Riverdale. The Pirates, yeah. Slackbeard. And the Super Teens.
Oh, God, Super Teens was... I'm glad that one was last, because I feel like it finished off the Daydreams really strongly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I had a question for you guys, because I couldn't find it. But so we know that their names are kind of like tongue-in-cheek, right? Because Jughead is... Captain Hero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And then... where is it? Okay. Betty is named Pureheart. That fits. Kevin Geller is Equalizer, which I really got a kick out of. I don't think we ever saw Archie's superhero name. Does he not have one?
I'm sure he does. I gotta find it.
Because I flipped through a couple times and I just couldn't find it, but I was thinking maybe one of you guys did?
I don't recall.
Yeah.
I don't recall, and my tablet is in the bedroom where the baby's sleeping, so I don't want to go in there and get it.
Yeah.
I'm, like, afraid.
But I thought, like, that's interesting, because I feel like that would be a purposeful omission. Right? Like, Archie doesn't get to be the lead superhero, and he's so dull, he doesn't even have a name.
Yeah. He is kind of dull in this, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah.
He's kind of like background friend, honestly.
See, I think my favorite of the Daydreams was the time travel one.
That one was good, too.
Go ahead, Jen. I like their explanation of Paradox, where he's like, well, did you see us? And the time traveler says, no. And he goes, then we're all good. Time travel. That's how it works. Yeah, I like how tongue-in-cheek this is. Like, it realizes it's being ridiculous or stupid, and then it just, like, kind of gently lampshades it, and then we're good to go. Like...
Yeah. Yeah, I had fun reading this. I had fun reading this, and there's a couple moments I almost laughed out loud, but I don't remember what those moments were. Which feels weird. Like, I had fun time reading this comic, but there's not too many moments of it that are super memorable to me after the fact. Other than the pooping on the lawn one. That's it, because that was great. And then the text message from Archie. He made me clean up, you asshole.
That was... You know, there were little, like, nods to memes in here, you know? Like, there was the whole new number... Who dis new number?
Yeah.
New phone or something like that.
I really love that.
It really, like, modernizes this. In more than just putting them into a modern looking world, it's like they go on the same internet as me.
Yeah. And it keeps them relevant and believable as high school characters.
Yeah. Can we talk about the hamburger oath?
Yes.
Do you want to recite it?
I do. I will. I mean, this just I didn't see it coming because there was not, like, an obvious Green Lantern analog in it, but it goes, when school is out or school is in, no evil shall ever triumph or win. So let's end this oath, let evil cower, now that I've been charged with burger power. And that was written in all caps with a green font. It was perfect. I loved it. Oh, I loved when he realized that you can make food also.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was good.
Well, and then he turns out to be really good at it, too.
Yeah.
Right, like he just makes a perfect burger on the first go.
Mm-hmm. And she, and the teacher, Miss Crouton, who he calls Miss Groupon.
Because Crouton's not already enough on the nose.
Yeah. She was extremely impressed. But yeah, I really enjoyed this comic for many, many reasons. So, yeah. It was great. Should we talk about the art?
Yeah.
Sure.
Do it.
What do you think of the art? No, I thought the art was good. At first, I thought that they looked kind of strange.
It's notably more angular than last week.
But you know, it is really good. I think, you know, they're very expressive, especially Jughead, and it's very consistent too, which helps me follow along even more. So yeah, I thought it was really good. Very clean art. It's got lots of bright colors when it's, you know, in the right places, and when it gets the palette changes a bit when he's daydreaming too, which kind mm-hmm. of, if you couldn't tell that he was in a daydream, he's in a daydream.
And there's a couple times too that Erica Henderson did a really good job playing with perspective. Like there's sometimes when you're like looking up at people from below them, and it's like it's that interesting non-flattering angle. But it's a good job of highlighting the character's definitive features. So, like, Betty's blonde hair and Jughead's pointy nose. And mm-hmm. All these characters are super identifiable beyond what they were given. Like, when Archie was getting printed way back when, everybody got these defining parts of their wardrobe so that they were easier to identify, even though the printing sucked. Like, Jughead gets his crown so that even if the printing sucks, you know the guy with the crown is Jughead. And Archie's always wearing his Letterman jacket because that's his identifiable thing. But in here, you can also make that in their actual faces and body styles and body shapes. And Erica Henderson did a really good job of highlighting that as well. Not just the crown and not just the Letterman jacket, which kind of was its own joke earlier on, too.
Yeah.
Okay, actually, I did remember my favorite scene is when he gets around the obstacle course.
That was pretty funny, yeah.
Because that gym teacher, fuck that guy. Fuck that guy so bad.
Well, that's funny, too, when he's, like, riding the skateboard under the, like, ropes, and somebody, you know, you think, okay, skateboards don't really go on grass, but somebody goes, he put plastic down.
Yeah. Well, the best part of it is it must have taken him, like, at least an hour or more to modify that course.
Yeah.
Right? Like, to save I guess detention time is like an hour, but yeah.
Yeah.
You know, nope. I really like with the art, the eyes, because it's kind of the standard, like, just white circle, but then the pupil is just a dot. But Henderson uses it to such, like, good effect. She actually takes such simple drawing and expresses really good emotion with it. Mm-hmm. Like, especially when characters kind of make that, like, what the fuck is going on stare. Like, she's really good at drawing that. I don't know, I really liked the facial expressions in this. I thought they were extremely well done, especially for a more, like, simple line style. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree entirely.
Oh yeah.
You guys want to rate this?
Yeah.
Sure.
Alright, Jen, you go first.
I'm gonna give it a 3.5. I actually really liked it, but it's like what you said, Andy. I don't think it's gonna be memorable enough. Like, I definitely see myself buying more trades in the Jughead run. And I definitely want to devote more time to this because I think it's really enjoyable. But, like, nothing in particular stands out about it, which keeps me from giving it a higher score, right? So, like, it's kind of like the story's fun, the characters are well done, the art's good, but at the same time, it's kind of like the overall of it that's really enjoyable rather than, like, particular moments. But I feel like you need to have, for me, like, particular moments that I'm going to remember for years to get a comic, like, a much higher rating. So, yeah. 3.5.
All right. David?
I'm trying to remember what I gave Archie, but I really liked this one a lot. So I'm going to give it a 4. At first, well, maybe, actually, I'm going to drop it down to 3.5, because at first I thought that the jump between Jughead and the Daydreams was kind of, I wasn't sure what was going on, and it was kind of, I don't know, it seemed to break up the story for me. But then after I got through the first one and then the second one came around, I changed my opinion about that and really started to like it. But, you know, overall, it's a really good, it's a great comic. It was a really fun read. It was funny. And, you know, I was entertained. It didn't feel like it dragged at all. So, yeah, it's a good comic. 3.5. 3.5 or 4. I don't know, somewhere in there. It was good. Read it.
I'm going to give it a 3. Probably because it's living in the shadow of the Mark Waid run. But moreover, like, I was having a good time reading this, and I was having a good time with the Daydreams too, because they do take you out a little bit, but they are a good window into Jughead's psyche, you know, and the kind of person he is. And, I mean, if you're a teenager and you consume as much video games as we have to assume he consumes based on what we see in this comic, then his imagination and his daydreaming is going to be very rampant, especially if he never fucking sleeps. Like, this is all. He does go in and out of waves of, like, I really like the daydreams. What got me is that the real plot of the principal stranger, which we didn't even talk about this because we like to talk about character, like, the real plot of principal stranger being an ex-spy and wanting to turn the high school into, like, a spy academy to show the higher-ups that he was right all along, like, that felt like more of a daydream fantasy kind of a thing than his daydreams were. like for me, Riverdale is a place that wacky stuff happens, but at the end of the day is usually grounded in some kind of realism. And the daydreams are your rails off of that realism, because Jughead doesn't live in that world. Except it turns out Jughead actually does live in that world, because this is insane. I had a really good time reading it. Just the premise of the real non-daydream plot was like, I don't know about this. It felt weird, and it kept pulling me out of it as being not authentic to my idea of what Riverdale is. Which, that might be a problem with me, but I don't know. I was constantly like, come on. Come on.
I can't believe you, Andy.
A 3. I mean, I liked it. I think I just didn't like the last issue when it was like, this is really what's happening right now? This? Like, I would have rather him been, like, crazy and he just, like, I don't know, somebody slipped something in his burger and he just needed to sleep it off. Like, that would have been a little anticlimactic, but...
I do kind of agree with that, because towards the end I thought, is this really what's going on? Like, I genuinely could no longer tell if it was real or not. And maybe I was just, like, slipping into Jughead's state of mind.
Yeah, because he puts on the superhero costume that he dreamt of in Super Teens.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's this week. That's us. We're done with the Archie arc. It was a good. I enjoyed reading this Jughead comic and having the conversations we did. I think it was a good choice. And maybe we'll come back and read the Betty and Veronica later.
I think we should. And there's some other stuff in. You know, in the universe, there's also a Josie and the Pussycats comic. But in the second volume of Jughead, they introduce Sabrina. So.
Ooh, hey. And I do genuinely want to read Life with Archie sometime too, where they kill Archie.
Yeah.
I do genuinely want to read that, because I don't know how you do that in a genuine way in this universe. Like, I understand how you do that in Archie versus Predator. You can kill Archie all day. But I don't know how you do that in, like, a realistic way for this world. And I'm curious to see how they pull that off. But maybe we'll come back and we'll do those. I think we'll do those at a later date. But it is a new year. It is 2016. It is mid-January by the time this episode comes out, which means that it is time for our Best Of series. At the beginning of every year, we do a Best Of comics from the previous year. This year...
And somehow it takes us, like, 6 months.
Yes. Well, last year we were late because I was gone, and I didn't want to do the Best Of until I got back, so we delayed it.
No, I can't believe you had to be.
And then it was a huge arc, too. Last year, I think we did, like 20 episodes or something for our Best Of. So we're paring it down a little bit this year. And we're cheating a little bit. Some of these series started in 2015, like at the end of the year. But they really kind of got going in 2016 and got their acclaim in 2016. So we're going to start off with the big two. Our Best Of Marvel and DC is going to be Moon Girl and the Devil Dinosaur, BFF, by Amy Reeder. I'm excited for this one.
Me too.
And then we're going to read Doctor Strange, Way of the Weird, by Jason Aaron. There's a lot of other ones that we talked about doing for Marvel. We talked about Mockingbird a little bit. The Mighty Thor by Jason Aaron also is supposed to be really good. Spider-Gwen is like a Tumblr darling. But we went with Doctor Strange because we did a Doctor Strange and Doctor Fate two-parter. And there's not really a lot of good Doctor Strange stuff to pull from. So we picked that one because if this is a good Doctor Strange comic, this could be the definitive Doctor Strange run, which is exciting. So we're going to do Doctor Strange Way of the Weird by Jason Aaron. Then we're going to switch over to DC, and we're going to do New Superman by Gene Yang, because Gene Luen Yang is our boy, and New Superman, the idea of an asshole Chinese guy getting Superman powers sounds hilarious and great. And then we're going to read Superwoman by Phil Jimenez, which is a good comic, but mostly I appreciate it because issue one is ballsy as fuck. And I want to read it and talk about it. So that's our Marvel vs. DC. It's Moon Girl and the Devil Dinosaur BFF, Doctor Strange, Way the Weird, New Superman, and Superwoman. And then we got the next 11 episodes after that planned out and up on the website. Rosalie Lightning, Joyride, Faith, Monstrous, Unbeatable Squirrel Girl, all kinds of good stuff. If you want to see what we have coming up in those next, like David said, like 3 months worth of this Best Of series, go to welcometocomics.com. On the left, click on future shows, and they're all laid out there, with the order that we're going to be reading them in. So feel free to pick them up, read them, and join in our conversation, send us feedback, all that kind of good stuff. If you've read something and we're going to be talking about it in the future, please send us an email and we will bring up your message and your feedback in the episode, which is also on the website, welcometocomics.com. On the left, hit contact us and it takes you to a form. You just fill that bad boy out and it shows up in my personal inbox. So I will not miss it, I promise. And if you do like the show, go to patreon.com/welcometocomics and become a patron today. Get access to cool bonus content that we put out at the end of each series. So next week, there will not be an episode, but there will be, for patrons, there will be a bonus Patreon episode of the kind of talk that we have before and after the episode of recording. So yeah, patreon.com/welcometocomics, become a patron. You get access to all that for even like a penny. I don't really believe in gating things behind a certain amount of money. I just, however much you can give, we will truly, truly appreciate. Anyway, that's it for this week, everybody. Until next time, goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.